Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Tuesday, the 23rd of January of 2024. I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, where I live. It is great to be with you wherever you may be tuning in from, however you may be accessing the program. And I am so glad that you are tuned in. We will silence that disruptor.
What? Oh, did something happen?
Somehow it got unplugged, but now it's back in.
All right.
It's just that disruptor that I was referring to was my computer that was talking over me. So that's why I called it the disruptor.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it was being a disruptor. And, that, and thankfully, we have silenced. We have thrown him out.
Yep, he's out.
We have thrown him out because I just did not want a disruptor.
Nope.
So we had to have the ushers deal with that. And luckily that he's gone. Well, I like how Trump says it, gone.
Gone.
Now that he's gone, shall continue without it. I mean, without the disruptor belting out at us. I'm trying to, like, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to stir? What are you trying to start? No, just my computer. Just messing with you. Another thing, security? You know, meaning like...
Get bouncers.
Because anytime someone yells security, it's not pretty.
Nope.
I mean, it never is, and that's their call to, you know, do what it is they need to do, find out what is it, what's going on, you know, and then deal with it accordingly, as they say. You know, sometimes it could just be a phone, other times it could, you know, whatever it is, like, just go find out what it is. But nonetheless, I digress. It wasn't nothing. It was just a silly computer. But sometimes you never know when that little thing wants to speak. But, you know, it's great to be with you, whoever you may be tuning in from, however you may be accessing the program. And I feel like I'm supposed to tell you right now, God's got everything planned out for you. What I mean by that is, I mean, God has your world in your hands.
Yeah.
He knows what's supposed to happen for you. And you know, the World Economic Forum, if you've heard of them, there are things planned for this country. There are things planned. I don't claim to know everything, but I know that, you know, you think COVID was bad. They have things planned for the next few years that would be much worse than COVID. It is said that this thing that they have nicknamed Disease X that doesn't even exist yet. What I mean by that is, I mean, that we know of, we don't know of any cases of this so-called disease X yet, but it has the potential to kill 50 million people.
What?
I'm not saying it's out yet. I don't know if it is or if it's not, but I mean, we don't know.
Right.
But the truth is, there's things that are planned.
Yeah.
There's things that are planned, and we have to pray that God pushes back these things that are planned, because for those of you who didn't know, I know I've said it a few times, but guess what? We have new listeners, and in case you didn't know, the plan was that after COVID, we would not be able to go back to church ever again. Mm-hmm. That was the plan. It took me. You didn't know that before I told you the Lord, did you?
Oh no, I knew because my Mark was on it. He was still thinking we should still be joining for church.
And even in his mind, he thought it was a miracle that the church ever got to be together again.
Right.
Because somehow it was like, he kind of knew that it was the plan.
Yeah. You know, that the enemy's out to steal, kill, and destroy.
And the truth is that was the plan.
It was, but it didn't work.
But obviously the media wouldn't tell you that was the plan.
No.
The secular media, they're not going to tell you that was the plan.
Right.
They're not.
They
want to spread the fear because obviously during COVID you had people asking questions, you know, in their minds, will my kids ever be able to play soccer again? Will I be able to go to the restaurant again or go back to school in person or go back to shopping in a department store or mall ever again or
visiting our parents and
would we be able to
grandparents and
things like that, like would we ever get to go back to doing any of those things again? And if so, like at what level? I didn't want to say capacity because in that case I'd be like, I mean like building capacity.
True.
But I mean, so I'm at what level?
Mm-hmm.
Like would we be able to go in and actually talk to them or would we have to do it on some silly video?
Right.
And thankfully, you know, we thankfully, by the hand of God, we've seen many things get back to a sense of normalcy, at least a sense of normalcy, even though we've had some issues with supply and that. And the supply chain issues, here's the thing. That was part of the plan.
Yeah.
They won't tell us that,
mm-hmm.
but it was.
Definitely.
It was part of the plan, and but guess what? And there's an Antichrist spirit behind it. But as long as the church is on this planet, there is power to be able to push some of this back.
Yep.
When the church is gone, when the tribulation starts, if you're not right with God, you need to get right with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you miss the rapture, get ready for the ride of your life, and I don't mean it in like in a pretty way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean it's. I mean brace yourself. And I don't mean brace yourself for a nice big 420-foot roller coaster ride.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I'd be excited for that on a certain roller coaster at a certain amusement park. You know what? Forget the anonymous. I'll say right now what ride it is. Yeah, the Top Thrill 2 at Cedar Point, which is reimagining the Top Thrill Dragster. Reimagining it. It will still be 420 feet. It will still go 120 miles an hour. But it'll have like an additional drop and an additional liftoff type thing.
Okay.
So what it's being, rather than replacing, it's being reimagined. But like for those who, for whatever reason, make the choice to miss the rapture, it's going to be a ride. And I don't mean like a fun ride at Cedar Point. And people will be screaming, and it's not because they're having a great time on the roller coaster or because, you know, they feel bad that they were dragged on by a friend of theirs, and they wouldn't just close their eyes like I would have recommended that they do.
Right.
No, I'm not mad or nothing. I'm just saying, like, assuming, like, what if it was someone with me?
Right.
You know, and they wanted to try it, but at the same time, they were a little scared, you know.
Uh-huh.
So one of them, like, my advice to you would be to please kindly close your eyes and just imagine and just think, you know, as you're going up, you know, the lift hills and You know the speed. You know the speed's going up. Feel yourself going up kind of slow, but you. But by that point, by the time you feel it, by the time really, by the time you're being locked in, like with the lap bar, by that point, unless you ask and feel like, you know, you can't continue with the ride, by that point, you know, generally by that point, unless you ask, you're on it.
Yeah.
You're locked in.
Yeah.
You're on the roller coaster. But then, you know, during the, you know, after the tribulation, if you're a Christian, during the tribulation, if you're a Christian, you'll basically be given the choice of deny Jesus or die right here on the street. And if you decide you want to live and decide not to, and you decide not to confess Jesus as your Lord and instead decide to deny him, you will go to hell, fire, forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, where the worm never fire, where the worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. And so, but let me tell you the truth. The good news is God is on our side regardless of what they have planned.
Yeah.
Regardless of what is planned. And, you know, we read about that in the Bible, where the wheels were taken off of Pharaoh's chariots.
Yeah.
And so, if and when you hear me say, you know, when I'm doing my prayer during the show, if you hear me say, and Lord Jesus, pull the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariots. I prayed that way, did a little prayer like a week ago, and here's what that means. Pull the wheels off. That means push back the plan of the enemy, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because no enemy that comes before us shall prosper.
Amen.
And so that Pharaoh is that enemy that would try to get in our way.
Yeah.
And it can even be at the personal level. It might not be the WHO, World so-called Health Organization. It might not be the World Economic Forum, which I don't get what good they try to do. It might not be this or that. It might be things in your own life, your own personal life. And so we can say, and Lord, pull the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariots in the name of, you know.
I like that.
And so because my mom, I prayed that prayer, you know, like 2 years ago or so, and my mom was like, not sure you're sure, because people might not know that. That's why now I feel like at this time with some things that are going on, some things that are planned, I feel, listeners, like, you know, we have to take authority, and I feel like I'm supposed to go back to saying that.
Yeah.
Because you know, to pull the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariot, because guess what? The enemy has a plan, but while we're still here on this earth, he's not going to win.
Yep.
In the end, while we're here, he's not going to win. Mm. They might try certain things, but they're not going to get it all totally right.
No.
They're not going to get it right. They're going to fail. With COVID, there were things they wanted to do that they didn't get to do to the full degree. And that full degree would have meant permanent lockdown of the church.
Mm.
And things like that, and they didn't get to do it.
Uh-oh.
Because why? Because people of God prayed. Because the people of God, at least some of them, woke up,
uh-huh.
And they got loud, and they raised their voices. And Mom had asked me before during the lockdown. My mom had asked me, "What would you tell someone like from the media if they asked you?" You know, like, because we went to Lansing, certain protests, but the idea of the protest is we would all stay in our cars, and we did that, you know, to create, like, some kind of traffic jam around the Capitol during the stay-at-home order. Like, and I forget exactly what the meaning of that was to be, but, like, all these cars were there all over, and they were like, oh, I mean, it was, I mean, people were nice and that, but like, but then you'd have these protesters who were against it, who would yell, go home.
Oh.
You know, because anytime you want to protest for a good normal reason, uh-huh, you always got these other protesters who want to crash it.
Yep.
And we weren't screaming or loud or anything, but we were just being there in our cars.
Making it known.
Like making it known, like, you know, a quiet protest, but still a protest nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
And they had said, like, what would you say? And I'd be like, we want to be able to go back to church. And I was like, what about the gym and all that? And I'm like, you know, that too, but ultimately, I think the church needs to be able to gather again.
Mm-hmm.
My mom had to think about that for a minute, you know, and that never, and like, now she would have thanked me for it, of course, you know, because I decided to stand up for the church,
yeah,
rather than to stand up for my own little other wishes,
mm-hmm,
the truth was, the plan was that the church would not be able to gather again. And somehow, either I was just thinking that, or it was in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I stood up like I did.
Yeah.
And told my mom what I would have said. That's why I stood up.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I was supposed to.
Yeah.
To make a statement, you know, because we were there, work out, and then we ended up leaving and going back home. But I mean, you know, the thing is God is on our side. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, beautiful for situations. He really is, regardless of what the situation is. You know,
mm-hmm,
you know, whether it be something in your body, something in your mind, something you're faced, maybe it might just be, you know, you're feeling okay in your body maybe and stuff, your finances might be okay and things like that, but maybe it could be something like you're just going through a ton of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe you just have a very stressful situation coming or something and you, or sometimes you just don't know why your stress level is through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
But God can help you with that. That's why I said beautiful for situations.
Mm-hmm.
Notice he didn't say what kind. Notice he didn't say unless it's,
right,
you know. That can even include something as simple as stress.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, on a funny note, you know, if you get, I just thought something. If you take stressed and spell it backwards, S-T-R-E-S-S-E-D, let's do R-T-S.
Oh.
Yay, I win!
Yes.
Off to Dairy Queen, yeah. On the show. La, 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 la.
Desserts.
Yes. Yeah. Pity Q, I must go, even though it's cold outside. You know,
stress turned to desert.
No, I don't feel stressed right now. I was just, hashtag just saying.
Yeah, just saying.
You know, I just thought of that, and sometimes you got to learn to laugh.
Yeah.
You have to, and like I said last night, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why sometimes even I'll come on here and I'll say something funny, you know, and that, and I'll be like, you know, and I don't try to purpose or nothing, but if I think of something, you know,
yeah,
and I just, you know, and I say what it is and what have you, you know, if I thought of it and, you know, and I say it, you know,
mm-hmm,
then I hope that you at home are laughing,
mm-hmm,
you know, like, and all that, because the truth of the matter is, laughing is good for us.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually done medical studies on this, and you know, they have found something that when I heard this, I thought it was kind of interesting. Well, so they took some people. They put them into a couple groups. One group of people. Okay, in both groups were shown, you know, a funny episode, you know, from a certain TV show. Well, that was supposed to be funny. Okay. You have one group that has all kinds of heart issues. Yeah, they're heart patients. The other group had hearts that were healthy. The people who had heart issues, not one of them was laughing at all. And if they were, it wasn't very much. The group who didn't have the heart issues, or at least had their heart at least under control, they were laughing. They thought it was hilarious. Yeah, and you know, so you know what that shows you? Laughter is essentially medicine for you.
Yep.
You're essentially taking God's medicine.
Mm-hmm.
When you're essentially taking some of God's medicine that he's given. Yes, there's other things, you know, and you know that play a role, but you're taking some of God's medicine when you're laughing.
Love that.
You know, it's like you're taking some of his medicine. And no, I'm not a doctor, and I don't claim to be one. And guess what? This has not been proven to treat or cure any disease. So there. Because you know, if you've heard it on TV, heard it on the radio, seen it on TV, you know, you might have seen that thing, you know, next to certain things, and it'll say this product has not been proven to treat or cure any disease. And there's part of you that goes, okay, then if I'm dealing with some pain, why would I even bother to take this Tylenol or this Advil if it hasn't been proven to treat or cure any disease or pain, you know?
Right.
Like, are you basically saying it doesn't work?
Right.
Be like, golly gee, Gomer, what on earth is this? be like, what on earth is this? How does this make any sense?
Right.
But the truth is about the laughter thing. It really does help. It really does make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So I would actually say it has been proven to work. Not it doesn't.
Right.
It has been proven to work. And that Jesus has been proven to cure diseases.
Mm-hmm, he has.
Yes, he has. Unlike the medicine that you take, and you might see it on the bottle, and it might say, this product has not been proven to cure any disease. you know, all that kind of stuff, and you'll be... It's on more medicines than not, isn't it?
Probably. Yeah, I would imagine.
And then on basically every medicine you order from the pharmacy, you got a whole readout now from the pharmacy about side effects.
Mm-hmm.
Expect to bloat. Expect to puke. Expect to think your name is Mara when it's actually Laura.
Right. Yeah.
Or that your name is Mike when it's actually Mark.
Yeah.
And you know, and in the event of death, call your doctor. Okay, it doesn't say that, but you know that kind of stuff is serious. But you know, we tease about it and stuff, and people do, and I think it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, you know, Jesus, the name of Jesus is greater than the name of sickness and disease,
mm-hmm.
than any side effects you can think of, you know, and you need to pray over your medicine when you take it, because you know, there's something interesting. And I heard this like over 20 years ago from a sermon that pastor was preaching. And he basically said like this, you know, someone was telling him something. And he said, now, Dr. Buckley, it's amazing. you'll see these Christians, they'll pray over the food package, but they will not pray over the medicine bottle. They'll pop the top off the medicine bottle, off the medicine bottle.
Mm-hmm.
They got the childproof cap and all that kind of stuff, and you'll just take that pill, you know, drink your water or whatever, you know, with it, and these Christians won't even pray over. When sometimes it can have these crazy side effects on.
Yeah.
Where yet food, they'll pray over. Most good ones, they'll pray over. When the truth is that medicine is more apt to kill you right on the spot. But the thing is they'll pray over the food package, but not the medicine bottle. Don't know why that is necessarily, but it's true.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it can be so easy to do that, to learn little you pray for food, you know, and as Christians we should be. And I would say this too, you need to pray over your water. You never know what might be in it. You need to pray over it, because God said he would bless your food and your water. Notice it didn't, remember it said bless your bread and your water. Notice it didn't say what kind of bread. Could be rye, could be wheat, could be sourdough, pumpernickel, I don't know. And your water, notice it didn't say what kind of water. Could be tap water. Could be reverse osmosis, distilled. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could be out of the lake.
Yeah.
And he said, I'll bless your food and your water, and I will put none of these diseases upon you. And I was just, you know, thinking about some of that a little bit.
Yeah.
So no matter what it is that you're dealing with, you know, God's got us. We can know that God has us in his hand. He has us in his hand, you know, and we take authority over what's going on, you know, and what have you. And we know that God has us in his hand. Because that song we sang when we were little, you know, he's got the whole world in whole world in his hand. That's not just some nifty little Christian godly song. No. It's true. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hand, and he's got. And he does too.
Yes, he does. I know it.
And he does too. It's not. It's just like how he's still working on me. I know. You know that people might say, "Oh, it sounds kiddish." But guess what? He does.
Yep.
And I think, you know, the truth is what helps us remember a lot of times is when we just get back to the basics.
Yeah.
Got to get back to the basics.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do get back to the basics, it really makes you realize. And I know that whole thing of he's got the whole world in his hand sounds so basic, but guess what? It's so true.
Yep.
Because on what I told you, I didn't give you any flaky doctrine. I didn't give you any crazy long words. I didn't give you any, well, it might or it might not.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't give you any of that. I said I was as basic as he got the whole world in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? He does.
Yes.
And I know it's basic, but it's true.
It is.
And sometimes, like, when are you going to get it in your head? Because some people are just so dull. Dull.
Yeah.
Some people are just dull.
Yeah.
And you might not know why they're so dull. But you know that they are dull.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, I wish that you would get undull.
Mm-hmm.
And that you wouldn't be so dim. Be a dimwick.
Yep. Be the bright light.
And be a bright light. You know? There's a couple of, first of all, I'm going to get to the quick housekeeping stuff that I always mention. First things first, I want to remind you real quick about the book Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how God has always been there. You know, no matter what we faced, my family, no matter what we faced, we've always turned to God. And we've seen lots of results. We've seen lots of results. And lots of different miracles. Like this, just last week, we were in Florida. We saw some alligators at this park we were at on the east side of Tampa taking a walk, you know, near this lake in this big Hillsborough County Park. And we saw like three different alligators.
My word.
And we saw a couple dolphins when we were on this big long bridge walk thing on the west, on the other side of Tampa, you know, near the ocean. And we saw these dolphins. And then even the miracle that we made it to the airport on time for our flight.
Yeah.
In the middle of a snowstorm that Mother Nature had decided to drop
and been like, I'll show you Florida.
Oh,
you ain't gonna get.
I think that's what Mother Nature was thinking.
You're just like, got the whole world in a damn driving down
there.
Yeah.
And then we get down there. And the truth is, God is still doing miracles in your life, even if, you know, in the minute they might not be, you know. A miracle's a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do see all of that stuff that I just told you about as miracles.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's great to think about in your life, what are some miracles that you can think of that God did recently? Because I can think of, you know, I can tell you about things that he did for my life long ago, like him healing my immune system, healing my kidneys, you know, when I was at a young age, you know, and healed me of cancer and things of that. I can think of things like that. But you also got to think of in your life, what are some miracles that he did for you, like, in a day-to-day?
Yeah.
Like, where have you found some favor that you didn't expect? Where have you found, you know, even with, like, even in the airport last week, we had a bag that weighed more than what supposed to weigh for you to be able to chart a certain, and guess what? They just combined it and just said it was all good.
Yay.
And things like that, you have miracles and find favor.
Yep.
So the truth is, you can go online to the website riversofmiracles.com. That is rivers, RIVERS of miracles.com to find out information about the book Rivers of Miracles and how it can be a blessing to your life. Here's the truth. I want to get that book in your hands. I do. So you just go online to the website. My mom is the author, but I still like to say it's my book. It's our book.
Yep.
Because it's about me.
Yep.
And you get part of her testimony in there too. So you're essentially getting a two for one.
Betcha.
So if you're looking to be like, well, what's the deal? It's a 2-for-1 special.
Mm-hmm.
Because guess what? You're getting two different people's testimonies.
Yeah.
And her testimony is that, you know, she was brought up in the church, but then, you know, she decided to be rebellious, do her own thing, you know, and that, then came back to church 11 years late. My testimony is I stayed with God, which is, in my mind, the best testimony you can have, as far as how you walked, was that you decided to stick with it and not depart. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. Yes, I read it. I said it according to how it reads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and even though it can include she, you know why I said he? Because I'm not confused. And I will read the Bible according to how it says it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not confused. I'm not giving into all this crazy dysphoria that's going on.
Good.
I'm not. I refuse to give into it. I refuse.
Mm.
I refuse. But I'm off of that now. Anyhow,
awesome.
Go online and get your copy of the book, Rivers of Miracles.
Yep.
Let it be a blessing into you. And then why not give it to someone else when you're done with it? And just keep spreading it.
Mm-hmm.
And keep. And Laura could totally tell you. Her daughter has given it to people down there in Florida.
And then even got another one to give to another person. She did, the lady who read it. It just trickles down.
It's trickling down, and it's great to know
that God is
doing that, and God is making an impact.
Faith.
And he's giving people faith, and
yes,
people are getting it. I mean, I wish more people were buying it, but guess what? Some's better than nothing.
You betcha.
I believe it.
Oh,
and you get a trickle-down effect,
yep.
And it increases their faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that people have given their lives to Jesus as a result of this book. And so, that's the book. Read it. Be glad you did.
Yeah.
Okay, real quick, I promise this other one. The other thing I want to remind you about real quick about is sowing your seed into the Miracle Man program. And go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed. In the search bar, you'll type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. Last name is S-H-U-K-L-A. Keep in mind, please, if you would, there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. Also, the first R in Rivers and the S in Shukla, both of those are capitalized, just so you can make note of that. And I want to give a shout-out to Laura, who's sown seed, and also to Natalia from listening in Honduras.
Ooh.
And yes, she comes to visit, but you know, and if you want to be like her, you can go online and if you want to be like them, you can go online and sow your seed. It's not up to me how much you give. And guess what else? I am not turning my episodes into fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might do that. You know, they turn some of their, you know, into fundraisers, and they come up with silly fundraisers and hoop-de-doos and whoop-de-las and all this kind of stuff and zipline rides and all that. And you know, they'll think of I'm not going to do that. But what I will do is, you know, give you verses you can use to sow seed. And so my verse tonight comes to us from Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. And you can give, sow your seed with that verse in mind, knowing that God is good for his word, and that what he says, it like that, you can believe it. You can take it to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You really can take it to the bank because it's real.
Yeah.
And so now I'm going to sing a couple songs and then we'll get into the word of the Lord. And, we'll continue on with Book of Proverbs. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus be the center of it all. Jesus be the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be. It's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Oh, Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center, it's all about you. Jesus, all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. From my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center, it's all about you. Yes, it's all about you. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus be the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. Jesus, be the center of it all. Jesus, be the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Jesus be the center of it all. Jesus be the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come away with me. Come away with me. It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be full of you, Lord. Come away with me. Come away with me. It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be full of you. Come away with me. Come away with me. It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be full of you. Come away with me. Come away with me. It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be full of you. Open up your heart and let him in. This is what God's saying. Open up your heart. Let me in. Open up your heart. Let me in. So open up your heart and let me in. Oh, open up your heart and let me in. Oh, he said, open up your heart and let me in. Run away with me. Come away with me. It's gonna be wild. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be full of you. Run away with me. Run away. Gonna be great. It's gonna be full of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that you are with us. You go before us. You hem us in.
Okay.
You make us who you want us to be.
Yeah.
You're making us who you who what we ought to be. It took you only a week to make the moon and stars. Sun, Earth, Jupiter, and Mars. How lovely and patient that you must be. that you'd still be working on us. And I thank you, Lord God, that your hand is upon us and on our lives, that it is you, Lord God, moving in our midst, that you're moving things, fixing things for us, that you are just, you know, working on situations in our lives. You're changing things for us, parting Red Seas for us, opening doors for us, closing bad doors that you didn't want us to go through, Lord God, and that you're just there for us, helping us, making a way for us, knowing, because you know what's best for us. And I thank you that you're helping us. Thank you that you are meeting the needs of those who are listening tonight, wherever they may be tuning in from, however they may be accessing this program. And I'm so thankful to you, Jesus, that they have made that determination to tune into this broadcast and to receive what it is that you have for them right where they sit. In your name, Jesus, thank you for what you're doing for them. In Jesus' name. And now I make my thank you for our time in this word, and that it would not be void, and that you would speak to these people right where they are, and that they would receive what it is that you have for them tonight. And now I'll make my confession over this program. I thank you, Jesus, that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that more and more listeners tune into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this radio program. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want you to open up your Bibles, if you've got it, with you to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19. Amen. Proverbs, chapter 19. I'm going to begin with verse 1. Proverbs, great guide, great way to live by. You know, all the stuff about wisdom and all that stuff. It's not that... By the way, wisdom, that doesn't mean you're wise, but you're dumb at the same time.
Wisdom.
Wisdom. I've been thinking about sometimes you saw some people, instead of calling them, you know, dumb stuff, you know, that they're being you know, dumb and that. Blah, blah, blah. Hey, dumb, I got a book for you. It's called Proverbs. Read it.
Right.
I mean, Proverbs. Here's the thing. If only it would talk to some of these people about how to drive nowadays.
Oh, my Lord, I know.
Proverbs for drivers. Blessed is he who does not cut me off. Blessed is he who does not pull out in front of me. he who chooses to pass me in the non-passing lane shall be cut off from my kingdom. Stuff like that. Someone needs to try to at least write at least a partial book, Proverbs for Drivers, with wording that sounds like one. That would be so hilarious.
That is so funny.
I couldn't wait to read it.
Oh, my.
But obviously you don't want to live your life by it. But I still think it would be funny.
Very funny.
I think it would be, and even some of the youth drivers could learn something from it. Don't cut me off. I'm trying to turn into the parking lot to get some ice cream.
You're
like, I know it's cold, but I don't care. This guy wants some ice cream. Just saying. Okay. All kidding aside, Proverbs 19. Thank God for the word of God. What would we do without this word? Because this word, you see, the word of God, it's a guide for life. And it's one of the things, you know, that helps us get closer to God. And, you know, you see, when we go to church, you know, when you go to the house of God, which, by the way, if you're not in a church, you should find yourself in a good church that preaches the true, unadulterated word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing about church services. So, you know, worship, which is great, but that is for God. You're worshiping Him, you're praising Him, giving thanks unto Him, and making mention of Him and who He is. That's what praise and worship is. So that's unto Him. When you give your tithes and offerings, that's unto Him. When you give the tithe that's already His, you know, bring the tithe that's already His, and then you give above and beyond it, and you give Him the offering. Yes, you get blessing for the offering, but, you know, that's for His work. And, you know, at altar calls and whatever, you know, and the all, you know, and you get delivered from stuff at the altar, that stuff you leave behind. When we open the Word of God, that's when you get to take something home with you. And so, like, when I bring you this Word of God, that's for you. That's something that you can use. That's something that you can, because anything you got freed from tonight, you know, and I pray people would, you know, and get healed and stuff like that. We love that. But that stuff you got freed from, that stuff you got delivered from, that's not stuff you, yes, you take the healing and deliverance with you, but you don't take the stuff that you were freed from or healed from with you. But this Word of God, when we open up the Word of God, this, something from this, you take with you.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. And so, Proverbs 19, I'm going to begin with verse 1. It said, better a poor man whose walk is blameless than a fool whose lips are perverse. It is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. A man's own folly ruins his life. I threw that in there. The Bible did not say uh-oh. It didn't even say what rule. I said uh-oh. Try it again without them. A man's folly ruins his own life, yet his heart rages against the Lord. Wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friend deserts him. Now, when we read those verses and it compared the wealthy to the poor, that's not meaning where we should be like, oh, you know what, I guess I should just be poor because after all, according to these certain verses, you know, wealth brings friend, but a poor, you know, in a certain thing like that, or that if you're poor, you're closer to God. No, God loves the poor and the rich. And guess what? He made them all. He made them all. He loves them equally.
Yes.
Verse 5. A false witness will not go unpunished. And he who pours out lies will not go free. Many curry favor with the ruler, and everyone is the friend of a man who gives gifts. Hashtag Santa Claus. Just kidding.
Thought the same.
Santa Claus. Yeah, after all, we just went through Christmas a month ago.
Right.
Okay, without that. Many court favor with the ruler, and everyone is the friend of a man who gives gifts. A poor man is shunned by all his relatives. How much more do his friends avoid him? Though he pursues them with pleading, they are nowhere to be found. And then he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who cherishes understanding prospers. A false witness will not go unpunished. And he who pours out lies will perish. It is not fitting for a fool to live in luxury. How much worse for a slave to rule over princes? A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is by his glory to overlook an offense. A king's rage is like the roar of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. A foolish son is his father's ruin, and a quarrel's wife is like a constant dripping. Houses and wealth are inherited from parents, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Laziness brings on deep sleep, and the shiftless man goes hungry. He who obeys instructions guards his life, but he who is contemptuous with his ways will die. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him. He will reward him for what he has done. Discipline your son. What? I'll read that again. Discipline your son. And in that, there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. A hot-tempered man must pay the penalty. If you rescue him, you will have to do it again. Listen to advice and accept instruction. And in the end, you will be wise. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. What a man desires is unfailing love. Better to be poor than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life. And one rests content, untouched by trouble. The sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He will not even bring it back to his mouth. Slaughter mocker and the simple will learn prudence. Rebuke a discerning man, and he will gain knowledge. He who robs his father and drives out his mother is a son who brings shame and disgrace. Stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. A corrupt witness mocks at justice. And the mouth of the wicked gulps down evil. I know some of you thought I was going to say gulps down a Slurpee, or gulps down a Coke, or gulps down a big gulp for 7-Eleven. Nope. Nope. Gulps. It says in the mouth of the wicked gulps down evil. Penalties are prepared for mockers and beatings for the backs of fools. And then, let me see. Where's my phone? Oh, there it is. So, you see here what we read. I know some of this sounds harsh, you know, Matt, but guess what? Guess what, listeners? It pays to obey your parents. You know, those of you who live at home, you know, whether you're a young person, whether you're under 18, you know, for those of you who are under 18, you must obey your parents, period. You know, if you want the blessing of the Lord, you need to obey your parents. And then if you live under your parents' roof, you know, as an adult, you're supposed to go by their rules. When they set rules, follow them. When you live under the roof of your parents, don't be mocking your parents. Don't be calling them names. Don't be saying they're stupid. Don't be saying, well, you don't get it. Everybody's doing it. All that kind of stuff. You know, God put parents in your life. God created the family. God created the family unit. God made it that way. This traditional family thing, God created it. Why? It was how he wanted it. Otherwise, we'd all be orphans. We'd all be strays. We'd all be, you know.
Yeah.
Contrary to what evolutionists try to believe, we didn't come from monkeys and apes. We didn't say, the monkey had an ape. The ape gave birth to a human.
Just absurd.
The Big Bang Theory. There was a big, loud bang, and then suddenly, hello. I'm trying to think. Bible. Big Bang Theory. Nope. doesn't exist. And then you gotta be born of water in order to even be able to walk and talk and all that, you know, and you come from your mother. You know, and it's in wedlock. You also have in that your father. God made it that way. Mother, father, son, daughter.
Yep.
You know what? Sister, brother. And you know what? It's not supposed to be hard to understand. It's not. And God put these systems into place. When Jesus said, honor your father and your mother, he didn't say, oh, I'm sorry. I meant to say when it's convenient for you. He didn't say, honor your mother and father when it's convenient for you, but when it's not convenient, you go do whatever you want. He didn't say that. He said, honor your father and your mother, and you will have a good life and a long life. Dishonor your father and your mother, you will have a short life and a miserable life. He made it as simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
That if you honor your father and mother, it will be well with you. He didn't say if. He said period. Meaning if you honor your father and mother, you will. It will be good with you. He didn't say honor your father and mother. It will be good. It will be good for you unless. He said, honor your father and mother, and it will be good with and it will be well with you. Then he said, dishonor your father and mother. Okay, I'm saying it this way.
Mm-hmm.
If you dishonor your father and your mother, it will not be well with you. And then he said, discipline your son. We also, and we can add daughter to that. Discipline your son. And I know, I was a kid once, I was a teenager once. It wasn't always pleasant. It wasn't always pleasant. Did I need it? Yeah. Was that, what teenager or child at some point isn't a dumb box of rocks?
Right.
You were a dumb box of rocks at some point, I'm sure.
I betcha.
And I'm sure maybe at some point your mom and dad probably thought, man, you're a big dumb box of rocks.
Mm-hmm. Definitely wasn't honoring them.
Because it's some, like, even if you're doing okay, but at some point, as a teenager, or as a kid, at a certain point when you go through certain phases, sometimes.
You have rebellion.
There can just be rebellion at some point for whatever reason, and sometimes you don't know why. But you say, oh, and no, I'm not promoting it either, but I'm just saying, you got to discipline your children. You've got to. If you never discipline them, it's like you're showing them you hate them, even though you don't say it. And furthermore, do not tell your children you hate them. They hate that. But if you won't discipline them, if you won't tell them the truth, according to the eyes of God, you're showing that you hate them. So I do this according to what the Bible says. And obviously you love your children. And, you treat them well. You bless them when they do well. You teach them, you bless them when they're doing great, and reward them, and, when they need correction, you correct them, and you discipline them according to how they need the discipline. Note, when I say discipline doesn't always mean grounding. Discipline can mean teaching,
mm-hmm.
And you don't necessarily discipline just because they're being bad. But then you just got to say, set them down and be like, hey, not necessarily being bad, but I got to talk to you about this.
Yep.
Showing
them the path to go. Turn right here, turn left here. Or do you want to get lost and not even get any directions?
Because sometimes that discipline means you need directions.
Yep.
Doesn't always have to mean grounded.
Right.
Because receive consequences because you're not, but obviously when they are doing bad, they should have, But the fact is, this is not a parenting seminar. I'm saying train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. That's why it's important to instill honor in your children. You should instill, parents, you should instill honor in your children. To where, for example, when it's your birthday, they'll remember. And they'll pick you something up, or they'll do something nice for you, to where it'll be that they'll remember. And it wouldn't always be like, maybe when they were younger and you would take them to the store or the mall or whatever, Because that's what my pastor did with his kids. When I was younger, he would take them to the store or whatever, and take them in and be like, this is your mother's birthday. And or it's Father's Day or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, you know, and then they get it down. That's how you learn honor. And ultimately, you honor because you love.
Yeah.
You know. And you know, it's not just, shouldn't just be something you do because you're bound or because you live in the house. No. You should love your parents. Parents, you should love your children. You should. You really should. And want the best for them and all that. Because God meant for us to love each other. He did.
Yep.
He didn't make for us to just be okay with each other and to just barely be able to survive with each other. But, you know, when I think of it, you know, love is kind. It is.
Yeah.
You know, love is, and love is patient, and so I just thinking about these verses that we read tonight, and like the ones about, so don't be a fool, don't be a foolish parent, and you, to you young people, don't be a foolish, you know, girl or boy or son or daughter, you know, don't do that. Don't dishonor your mom and dad. Don't be telling dad or mom shut up. Cause when you say that, it might just be two words. But to me, that doesn't sound very honorable. It doesn't. When you do that, you're showing dishonor. And you also got to honor the Lord, because God created the family unit. So if you're dishonoring your parents, you're not honoring the Lord either. And obviously I had to learn that and stuff, but, you know, that's why, you know, you got to be honorable so that God can look down and say, that is my honorable son. That is my honorable daughter.
Okay.
And God can say, he loves me, or she loves me.
Yeah.
And it's not about some silly self-esteem thing either. Because it's about his kingdom. It's not about, because you see, God is not looking for more self-esteem because his self-esteem registered at a record low. No, it didn't. He doesn't use the self-esteem scale like some people do. And I'm sure some, because some people struggle with low self-esteem. That's not why Jesus tells us to be honorable, though. He does it because he loves us. He wants to bless us for being honorable. And also knowing that there will be consequences for being dishonorable. There will be paying a piper. And you don't want to pay the piper, because paying the piper does not sound pretty. Now, Lord God, help us as we go into life. I mean, as we continue on, help us to be those that give honor where honor is due. Help us to be honorable people. Help us to honor you. Help us to honor the house of God. Help us to honor our parents. Help us, to teach children. You know, those of us who have children, help these parents to teach these children what honor is, so they can honor their parents and also ultimately honor you. Because obedience is one thing. Honor is another thing. And I thank you that they will learn what honoring you is. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. And until tomorrow night, God first, God always. And tomorrow night when I come on here, I'm going to give you my prediction for the Lions game, because the Lions game is Sunday, and I will give you my prediction on what I think will happen. And you might say, will I like it or will I really not like it? Well, you'll have to tune in tomorrow night to find out. I'm not even going to give you a little pst tonight and say you'll love it. Because then that means in a way it's like,
right,
you're showing.
Yeah.
But like, no, I'll tell you tomorrow night what it is.
All right.
And so until tomorrow night, God first, God always. So long, everybody.
So long.
Yay!
You are so wonderful.